Cat Mayo Hour.
Welcome to the Pat Mayo Hour, Week 10 Spread Picks, Survivor Picks, because Tim is still somehow in Survivor, despite Gary and I being out of it. Plus, we're going to have our Super Locks of the Week. Do not trust Gary and I on Super Locks, because, you know, we're 3-6 as our Super Locks. The hat's back.
The hat is back, and if the hat had been here for the start of the season, I would still be alive in Survivor. Of that, I guarantee.
Oh, most definitely. But then we'd have to come up with some sort of wrinkle that, like, what if you don't pick out the Survivor ball?
Yeah. There's... I don't want to say the hat has flaws, because the hat, much like God, is indisputable. I mean, what the hat says goes. As you pointed out, I didn't even think about it as the election was happening.
Yeah, you wore the Trump hat.
I wore the Trump hat.
Hats and Garion predict the future.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
It's a power I don't take lightly.
So you actually won last week with the power of the hat.
Huzzah!
Two-game winning streak for Garion. He was 7-5-1 against the spread. He tied. With, you know who?
Yes.
Tim and August!
Tim and August.
That is not my name.
Oh, yeah! Your name, pal. You won last week 7-5-1 against the spread, just like Garion was. I was 3-9-1. I had a four-game lead in my, mini-contest, where you pick the five games a week. I went 0-4-1.
Ooh.
I dropped back.
I'm also on a complete heater when it comes to my super locks.
You are. When was the last time you lost a super lock? Like week four?
Week three?
Yeah, you started 1-2, didn't you?
Yep, and then I've won, been winning out.
Yeah,
in 2 weeks, I didn't take home dogs. I lost.
Yeah, you're 7-2 as your super lock. Gary and I both 3-6 for the year. I am still in the lead, 64-63-6. Tim, you're 2 back, 62-65-6. 53-72-6 is the record for Gary. The hat is way above that, though.
I believe the hat is 7 or 8 games above 500.
Yeah, the hat's good.
Yeah, the hat knows.
All right, let's get into the Thursday night contest. If anyone wants, like, general election talk, we're going to keep that out of this. Maybe at the end with Tim and I.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we're not going to trouble people with that. Because I just have a few questions.
It's fair.
Being an outside observer.
I'm sure Tim will have answers to those questions.
Listen, this is what Tim does professionally. Yes. So Tim has to have answers for it.
Exactly.
Cleveland. Cleveland at Baltimore is the Thursday night game. -7.5 is opened at 9.5. Cleveland has covered 5 of the last 6 games in Baltimore. Now, I've been awful with these Thursday picks. Like, not even close. I think I've picked 2 games right on Thursday night all year, and it's when I took the team that was just way better. And, well, I think that Cleveland covers this game. I think that Baltimore's a significantly better team, so I'm taking them.
Do you actually think they're significantly better?
I think they have the best run defense in the league. And
they do.
And Cleveland's only shot to do anything is run the ball with Crowell every time that they're close, and they're not going to be able to do it. Although they did do it week 2.
They also have one of the worst offenses in football. Like, just putrid. Their drive success rate is one of the worst in football. It was the worst going into their matchup last week against Pittsburgh. And I assume, considering one of their touchdowns was a blocked punt return for touchdown, and they also had a interception in the red zone. Like, Flacco's bad.
Yeah, it's,
and I think he's hurt, granted, but it's been ugly.
I have such a bad feel for these games.
Yeah,
that this is how I'm doing it from now on.
That's fair.
I think Baltimore's better. I'm going to pick the better. Like, I picked Tampa last week just because, like, 3.5 points at home. Oh, they should cover that game. That shouldn't be a problem. And just no, Atlanta's way better, and they killed them.
I would say Atlanta is clearly better than Tampa. I don't know
everyone's
how much better
clearly
Baltimore.
Better. Everyone is clearly better than Cleveland.
They're better. I don't know how much. I don't know if they're 8 points better, though. Like, I would take Cleveland if I...
If you have
that,
the choice.
If that was my life choice at this point, and it is not. Baltimore. We're taking Baltimore.
Baltimore for Gary.
I apologize.
I'll go to the 2-shot for a second, and go grab the bell. Wait, I forgot to bring the bell in. So, Tim, what do you make of this game?
I think the logic you just laid out is precisely right. These Thursday night games, as a rule, I just take the better team. And especially if that better team is at home. So I'll be laying the 9 points, and the Ravens are my survivor pick for the week.
Ooh, survivor Thursday pick?
Yeah, I don't like it, but, you know, when you get to week 10, you're running out of people that you want to take each week. So
that's your survivor pick? Got to ring the bell around.
See, you have this game at 9, Tim?
Yeah, I had it at 9, but has it changed?
It's 7.5.
It opened at 9.5. It's -7.5 now, and weirdly enough, 60% of the money is on Cleveland.
I don't think that's that weird. It's a big number. I mean, we talk about this all the time. I know they're at home, but, you know, I think it's time to throw Baltimore in that class of team that we talk about, like Minnesota.
Like,
teams that are, they have good defenses, but can they score enough to cover 8 points?
Yeah,
I have serious reservations about that.
The last 2 times these teams have matched up, the Ravens have taken a special teams touchdown to the house. And I think special teams will probably factor in again against the. That's one of the ways you can separate the awful teams from the really awful teams is mental mistakes on special teams. And Baltimore is a sort of team that can truly capitalize on those sorts of things. So I think the Ravens win. I think it'll be over by halftime.
We'll see. It's just these Thursday night, like this is a no bet for me, like in terms of actual gambling. But I feel like Terrence West should have a rebound game here. Kenneth Dixon's a bit beat up. I think they're going to give the ball a lot to West. Like if you play in those like Thursday night to Monday night DFS games, I could see Terrence West being okay.
Yeah, although people expected some big things from him last week, and he disappointed a great deal.
Yeah.
I mean, Pittsburgh had not been good against the run. And
It's weird with Pittsburgh because it seems like every second week they're bad against the run. Like, they got torched by Ajayi, and that's a lot. Like, when we look at, like, Kansas City's overall, like, DVOA, we always point to the first half against San Diego and the game against Pittsburgh of why their stats are so bad. That one game against Ajayi kind of ruined them for the year.
I mean, they do run a funnel-type defense. Like, they do sort of dare you to go down the field, so it would make sense. And, yes, they were on the road. So
road Steelers, avoid. Home Steelers, take. I think if you follow that general rule, you'll be fine.
That is true.
And with a healthy Ben, Brown, and Bell, that's a different story, obviously. Ben was not. I mean, we were on the Ravens last week, so we'll see how that one works out. Just for full disclosure, we're filming this around, 5 hours earlier than we normally do?
Yeah.
4 hours? We don't have the full Thursday injury reports, or at least all the information from Thursday like we normally do. So, you know, check. Just be cautious of that.
I don't feel like there's anyone who was necessarily up in the air.
Like Doug Martin teams, and...
Oh, I thought you meant for that game specifically.
No, just in general. Like,
sure.
But we're doing
I thought you meant like George Clooney and up in the air.
Ah.
I like that movie.
Yeah, it's all right.
It's funny.
Is that Anna Kendrick?
Yeah. Anna Kendrick, not Sofia Vega, the one who was in Departed.
Oh, I don't know her name,
The one who's on Bates Motel.
Yeah.
Not a bad show.
I've heard good things.
Have you been watching Black Mirror since it came back?
I have not, actually.
Have you ever seen an episode of Black Mirror?
No.
Tim?
No, I have not.
You guys should watch that it's only like 6 episodes.
I know. It's Netflix?
Yeah, it's on Netflix.
There's
but
so much things to watch.
But that's probably, I don't want to say it's the best show. It is by far the most unique show on TV. And it's unbingeable.
You do skew unique, though.
I do. I do skew weird.
Yeah.
But things can't be more or less or most unique. Things are either unique or they're not. There's no qualifier for the word.
I didn't
unique.
Say he skewed very unique. I said he skewed unique. If he has
Patrick
the option.
Said it's the most unique show. Of course, something can't be most unique. That doesn't make any
sense. Put it this way. It is Twilight Zone for now.
Okay.
Is the best way I would describe it. And you don't want to watch back-to-back episodes. Too bummed out.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
You're really talking this show up.
Wasn't there like a Black Mirror Christmas special?
Yeah, it had John Hamm.
Oh, I'm in.
There you go. I mean, it's a British miniseries, three episodes. Now it's back new on Netflix.
I don't want to take anything away from John Hamm.
John Hamm!
Because
Linda Hamm!
Because I will say, like, I mean, obviously Mad Men was a fantastic series.
Mad Men is how it's pronounced.
Excuse me, Mad Men.
And he played the titular character, John Madman.
But do you feel like there would be no better actor as just sort of like if Hollywood just decided John Hamm gets to be like the guest star on a sitcom every week?
Well, he only plays John Hamm.
I know, but I'm just saying, that's the thing, because it would get tiresome if he was on the same show for an extended period of time. But if he just got to play that character, like on every sitcom, I feel like he'd be great guest star.
Well, it's tough for John Hamm, because
he's got a real big wang.
He does have a big wang. Very handsome fella. Seemingly real nice guy.
Yeah.
Enjoys himself some fantasy football.
I mean, he was... did you watch the first season of Kimmy Schmidt?
Yeah.
Like,
he was the preacher.
He was the preacher, and he was fantastic.
Yeah.
It was a great role.
But everything that he's in is just John Hamm in this. Like, he's not really a character anymore.
Exactly. We need, like, a lovable, attractive person to either play someone who's secretly angry and secretly awful.
He didn't play John Hamm in The Town. I felt he was a far different character in that movie.
Oh, he was in The Town.
Yeah.
But that was, like, that was pre-big John Hamm.
No, that was, like, midst
that was
of Mad
middle
Men.
Of Mad Men.
Yeah, but had he won, like, an Emmy for Mad Men yet?
Well, he didn't win an Emmy till the last season.
There you go.
But he should have.
That's a good movie. People
Cranston.
They should watch it.
But he needs a Cranston-like transformation, because everyone knew Cranston as the dad for Malcolm in the Middle. He does...
Or Watley.
That's true.
That's when he had hair.
Got anti-dentites.
But, you know, just to change a character, you'd be like, oh, man, I would never have seen Bryan Cranston that way. I feel like Jon Hamm is sort of in that trap now, where he's just Mad Men Jon Hamm.
Yeah.
And he's going to be that way until something significant happens. Maybe he needs to shave his head. Who knows?
That happened to Slattery, too. He just plays, like, the debonair guy on everything now.
Yeah, but what career did Slattery have, really?
No, I'm not saying it's worrisome for him, but it also helps that he has, like, a silver mane. He's just instant classy.
I like
Sterling's gold.
Yeah, Slattery's great.
All right, let's get back into the game's main slate for Sunday. We have Houston at Jacksonville. Houston is now a one-point favorite. They opened as a 1.5-point road dog, Jesse James. This is a 42 over under. 84% of the public is betting Houston right now. I really wanted to super lock this one in, but I'm not going to. But I really like Houston in this matchup. With both teams having inept offenses,
yeah,
I would still lean towards Houston as having the better skill guys. Like, on one side of the ball, you have Allen Robinson. That's about it. At least on the other side, you have Hopkins. You have Miller. You have C.J. Fedorowicz.
Yeah.
And Will Fuller, obviously, who, as Tim would like to point out. And Jacksonville has a bad pass defense. Houston has a really good pass defense, and it's not like Jacksonville's running the ball.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the two takeaways you would have to have from their last game against Detroit was that, one, we thought Detroit was matchup-proof in terms of defense, but Houston is worse as an offense than Detroit is as a defense, which is saying something. But yeah, I mean, Detroit, you can't take away that Detroit also does present a good offensive challenge, and Houston stood up to them. I mean, Houston's defense, it's sort of the anti-Dallas. It's had to deal with an offense so inept that its numbers as a whole might not look all that flattering because they have to be on the field forever. They have a terrible starting average field position. Whereas Dallas, it's like, oh, just be on the field 22 minutes a game. Don't give up any touchdowns.
Don't give up big plays.
Yeah. So Houston, their defense, I mean, they've lost J.J. Watt, and... But they got A.J. Boye saving things.
Is he from Louisiana?
I would assume so.
What's the hat say?
It pains me to take Houston or want to take Houston, and I guess that's a good thing because the hat wants me to take Jacksonville.
Oh, Jarian's on Jacksonville. Tim, you're always Mr. Pro Jacksonville.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Jags in this game, in part because Houston is one of those teams that I trust at home and I refuse to trust on the road. They've played badly on the road this season. It's in Jacksonville, I think.
What about Jacksonville just having played badly in general?
Yes, but I certainly trust them far more at home than I do on the road. And I think this is a team that Bortles has seen a few times, so I think this is not a defense he has to decode in a way that he might have to with others. I think Robinson and Bortles have a pretty big game here. And
I like think about him in any aspect where he's like breaking down a defense.
Houston at Jacksonville, Week 10 intimidation game.
No, just, you know, he's played Houston, you know, quite a bit in his career being a divisional team, so I think he's aware of their sort of schemes and plans more than most teams that he'd have to pick up on a week-by-week basis. So I
you
just
know,
think this
Tim,
is a spot for Jacksonville.
You know, like the new Sherlock Holmes movies where, like, Robert Downey Jr. would, like, see things before they happen, and it was basically like a...
You know when you say you're starting to sound like him, the new Sherlock Holmes movies? Those are like 15 years ago?
Whatever. No. It's like 10, maybe. Anyway, regardless.
I'm a Padawan learner.
Even like Zach Galifianakis in The Hangover, when he goes full Rain Man and starts seeing the numbers and it's presented that way. I like to think that Blake Bortles trying to break down defense only sees like emojis or something like that.
Or just too fast. Yes. He can't figure out what's going on. I like to think of that as Russell Crowe in The Beautiful Mind.
No, but Blake Bortles might also be seeing people, and that's who he's actually throwing to. That might actually be the solution here.
Oh, man, that guy needs some meds.
Yeah.
You need to hook him up. That's what the new thing with the NFL. You have, like, your special teams coaches, your strength and conditioning coaches. You need, like, an on-site psychiatrist. Maybe help some of these people get it focused a little bit more.
I bet you most of those teams do have sports psychologists on the payroll.
Yeah, but sports psychology versus, like, real psychology are two different things.
That could be true. I've never had either, so I can't really speak to it.
That's unfortunate, considering you are an insane person.
This is how he remains an insane person. So I'm on Houston. Tim, you're on Jacksonville. And the hat, Garion?
I like Jacksonville.
Who do you like?
I would take Houston, but that probably steers more people towards Jacksonville.
As it should. One of the early slate this week is actually quite good.
Yeah.
In terms of competitive matchups. I mean, Houston-Jacksonville is a competitive matchup.
Yeah, what's the biggest spread at 1 o'clock? 3?
4, I think. No, 3, yeah.
3,
that
yeah.
was the biggest spread.
Jeez.
No, so is this one. This one is the biggest spread. Kansas City at Carolina. Carolina is a 3-point favorite at home. 64% of the public are on them. 44 is the over-under in this game. This is a tough one for me. Is Justin Houston finally going to be back because he's off the pup list?
I believe so. Whether or not, again, we talked about this like 5 weeks ago. If Justin Houston is back, like he was back in the playoffs, that doesn't necessarily mean he's Justin Houston. I feel like this sets up pretty well for Carolina. And I don't want to get sucked into the whole, like, Carolina's played well the last couple weeks, because they really haven't. They almost lost that game to the Rams. That was a sad excuse for a football game. But their run defense has been a lot better as of late, and that seems like it's the way that Kansas City wants to try and move the football. I mean, Spencer Ware should be back in this contest.
Yeah, he's been cleared from concussion protocol, and it looks like Alex Smith will be back as well. But, no Macklin, though.
But they've
like.
Sneakily had some offensive line issues. I know Jim Saunas of Numberfire pointed this out to me. Like, they lost their left guard, who was like a rookie fourth-round pick. So it's hard to say how much of an impact he actually had on the line. But since he's left, their net expected points by Numberfire's metrics are down like – they're in the low negatives for running plays. Like, so it might not have been Chark West was bad. It might be that line was bad this week. And they were also a team that, despite the fact they were averaging like 5.2 yards a carry as a team, adjusted line yards, hated the Chiefs' offensive line. So maybe this is something that's finally coming to fruition here.
I just look at their defense, and for the first like 6 weeks of the season, they generated zero pass rush.
Yeah.
Now they have six sacks in each of their past two games, and with Cam not having the most time in the world, they can put a lot of pressure on him. We've seen Cam has not dealt well under intense fire from just defensive fronts coming at you. It doesn't need to be a blitz necessarily, but it can be something where they're just generating so much pressure that Cam doesn't have time to do anything. I don't know if Jonathan Stewart can just be like, hey, here's 20 carries, go get it done, because he didn't last week.
No, but Chris Ivory tore up that defense, and Chris Ivory has been unable to run the football all season long, and Jacksonville does not have a good offensive line.
That would require Cam trying to take some of the attention off himself by letting Jonathan Stewart help the team win the game, and I just don't see him being able to
Jonathan Stewart has had 15-plus carries in three straight games. He had two touchdown games consecutive weeks. Like, he's getting all the work in the red zone. This is what he wanted to happen, Tim.
He's getting all the backfield work.
Yeah.
Well, which is kind of what I thought would happen, but just on normal drives, I just don't see Stewart getting enough carries. I mean, listen, this is a match between a good team and a team that's not very good. And Vegas thinks these teams are even by the point spread. So the value's decisively on Kansas City. I'm going to take the Chiefs, and I didn't lock this in. But, man, I think the Chiefs are just a clearly head and shoulders better than a very fraudulent Panthers team, which has won two games by playing very mediocre football. And the quarterback's too busy trying to work the refs and actually try to work his opponents. But anyway.
I just worry that Kansas City has had trouble putting teams away. Even in that Oakland game, when they were up by a ton, they kept moving the ball to the red zone and settling for field goals. Last week against Jacksonville, like, they should have won by like 20 points, and they didn't. They didn't even cover that game.
But moment of the season with Travis Kelce, so thanks for that.
That was pretty good.
That was great.
I love when people abuse refs.
I'm surprised he wasn't thrown out of the next game. If I were in the league office, I certainly would have said
goodbye. I think you should be allowed to hit the refs. I'm on record for that. The refs make a bad call, smack them up a bit so they make the call right next time.
We have a first.
I think the unpopular position, I think the NFL needs to crack down more on some of the histrionics that are going on the field and, make exceptions, make examples of people, and I think Kelce would have been a good start.
I've drawn the super lock ball.
Okay, Carolina.
I am locking in Carolina.
Super lock.
Oh, now I don't know what to do. I really want to take Kansas City, but if the hat feels so confident about Carolina. It's a tough spot. Like, if Kansas City loses this game, they drop to what, 6-9? Or sorry, 6-3.
Kansas City?
Yeah, they're 6-2 right now.
Are they 6-2?
Yeah.
So they drop to 6-3. That doesn't kill them. They can still make the playoffs.
It's a tough division.
I get that it's a tough division, but you're still very firmly entrenched in the AFC wild card game.
The Dolphins are hot on their tails.
Okay.
The Dolphins are actually making a move here.
And the Jets, like Tim, as we went through the schedule yesterday, the Jets aren't going to lose a game ever again for the next 5 years.
They're done.
So if Kansas City loses, they're still in it. If Carolina loses, they're effectively done, right?
They are effectively done.
But they're not. But by record, they are not effectively done.
Okay, they're done in the division. Do they have a chance in the wild card?
Yes.
I suppose if everything broke right for them, maybe.
I mean, if they win this game, they're 500.
If they win the game, they're back to 500, and
they would be 4-5. That's not 500.
I thought they were 4-5.
I think they're 3-5.
Oh, no, they had the bye. He's right. They're 3-5.
Oh, they're 3-5? Okay, you get yourself back to
4-5. What a marvelous team. Let me hold on and figure out how many playoff. Who cares? Get this team out of my life.
But this would be it. If they lose this game, they probably are out of your life. Then everyone just concedes that, bad year for Carolina. But if
no one will concede that. They'll say, eight wins. It won't end until this team is gone.
Like, eliminated?
Yes, until they're actually mathematically eliminated.
Oh, I thought you meant like until the franchise in Carolina, until they are moved to Vegas. This will not finish.
So Carolina has won two games in a row against pretty mediocre competition. They beat Arizona, but
Arizona gave that game 1 o'clock game on the East Coast.
Kansas City's two losses have both come on the road. They lost in Houston and
Pittsburgh. They got their doors blown off.
Yeah. So they haven't traveled well.
No,
if anything.
I mean, it's tough to do the whole did they travel well against Pittsburgh thing when it's just Pittsburgh at home is a bad spot.
Sure, but they went into Houston and lost, too, and they, objectively, they are a better team than Houston is.
Yes, much better.
So that's kind of strange. But that was back in week one. It seems like they're kind of getting it together a little bit right now. I'm going to take Kansas City as well. I think this is a three-point game, so I'll take the points. But I can see Carolina, this has to be somewhat of a statement for them. If they come out here, they win by three, or they lose this game, like, what are you doing?
Yeah, no, you're done.
Yeah. Denver at New Orleans. This is a tough one. It shouldn't be, but it is. New Orleans is a 2.5-point favorite at home. They opened at 1.5. It's 50-50 split between the betting, 49.5, one of the biggest over-unders of the week. We got the Biebs in the backfield now.
Possibly.
Potentially. That's what people are talking about.
Yeah.
Trevor Siemian reeks.
I think this actually sets up a lot, like, ironically enough, like the New Orleans backfield from last week. It's not going to be as significant a split, but where it's like, oh, God, that guy sucks. There's no way he's going to be involved in the game plan this week. And then Booker's just going to go off this week. Because why would you ever give it to Capri Bibbs?
Well, it's funny because someone pointed out to me, because Davis and I both talked up Devontae Booker as a DFS play this week. Not a one that you put into your cash game or anything like that. Because he's 7,000. He's very expensive.
Yeah.
But because of that price, no one's going to use him. And what if they don't use Bibbs? You know
what
I mean?
There's a very real chance they don't.
Yeah.
I mean, Kubiak came out this week and said, like, oh, he deserves more touches. I feel like that's more like, hey, Devontae Booker, get your ass in here.
Or Bibbs had three touches. If it goes up to six, he's doubled his production.
Well, he played nine snaps. It's like, okay, great. A guy happened to break a bunch of tackles and go for 69 yards for a touchdown.
Oakland didn't seem like
it. Probably not going to happen on a week-to-week basis.
Oakland also feels hard to get touches when you're going, when you're the, you know, Denver has more three and outs than any team in the NFL. And
so, New Orleans fixes that.
The apotheosis of that, right? There's nothing but three and outs.
I know, but New Orleans fixes that. Because, look, like, San Francisco coming into that game against New Orleans was dead last in drive success rate. They were dead last in yards per drive. Those things were fixed against New Orleans. New Orleans is a cure-all.
It was fixed. It was rigged against New Orleans.
Done. There you go.
I mean, you look at this game, you think Denver can't score. New Orleans can score. And, you know, I say Denver's got a great D. Well, Oakland found a way to beat them all over the field, running and passing. And so the -2.5 is just not enough. So I will lay the points with the Saints.
2.5. That's the way that I'm leaning, too. You look at the teams that Denver has lost to this season. They lost to Atlanta, and they lost to Oakland. What do those two teams have in
teams
common?
They can score, yeah.
They can score.
Yeah.
So I'm on board with New Orleans as well. I like Emmanuel Sanders for DFS.
Taking Denver.
Denver on the road.
Well, yeah, Sanders comes in at a really interesting price point because there's that, if you're playing the Sunday contest, like you're playing the Millie, the Monday night game that takes out ODB and takes out AJ Green.
Yeah, but not a lot of people are playing the Millie this week. It's $444.
Yeah, it's true.
For an entry.
Is it $444?
Yeah.
Why?
It's like the mid-season. There's only like 12,000 people on it, and they're giving away $1 million for first prize.
Oh, okay.
So it's a... Listen, if you can afford to do it, it's not within my bankroll
to
do it.
Well, let's not even say the Millie then. Still, most GPPs are still Sunday slates. So you lose AJ Green, you lose ODB.
I didn't love those guys this week anyway.
No, and that's fair, but I'm just saying it creates this weird sort of tiered pricing where you have three guys at 8,900 plus, and then you have, like, Fitz at, like, 7,200. And it's sort of strange, but yeah, I think Sanders is going to be a real good play this week.
Cooks is going to be a good play as well, unless he draws Chris Harris, because Talib doesn't look like he's going to play, right?
Yeah.
So someone, the Saints are going to have no problems moving the ball. At least in my mind, they won't. And if the Saints score 24, is Denver really going to score 24 points?
Probably not.
Dubious.
Unless they score a defensive touchdown, which I suppose is in the cards.
Yeah.
Anyway, so you are on Denver, Garion?
Yes.
The hat is on Denver?
The hat is on Denver.
Tim and I are on Nolens.
We are indeed.
Los Angeles Rams, Tim, at your Jumbo Jets. -2 at home for those Jumbo Jets. The over-under in this game, 39.5. You know who the public is leaning towards, inching towards, Tim?
Yeah, I do.
It is the Los Angeles Rams. 52% of the public is betting on them.
And they should be. They should be a lot heavier than that. I mean, the Jets, if you trust DVOA at all, Jets are now, again, the worst team in football. They're at home, sure, but Fitzpatrick is, I mean, maybe he'll play. Maybe I'm kind of hoping he doesn't. I want to see Bryce Petty get a full start.
Have you seen two worse interceptions in a game?
Yes.
Well, that's true. So, you have to watch Fitz every week, but like...
I watch him every week, so yes, I do see worse interceptions every week.
I do like that he varied it, though. Like,
the other quarterback in this game throws worse interceptions.
Yeah, that's true.
Both,
you know, both two of just four quarterbacks this season have more interceptions than touchdowns. Congratulations to both.
Both teams have terrible quarterbacks. The Jets have an okay defense. The Rams have a better defense. And when you look it up and down, what do the Jets have left to play for? Nothing. So the Rams are going to win. So the plus 2.5 or 2 is very enticing.
Aw, buddy, Hillary lost. Come on, cheer up.
Well, that does cheer me up. But, you know, we have to be clear-eyed about things. And the Rams are just the better team.
I guess you say the Jets have an okay defense. I mean, it's a very split defense. They have a very bad pass defense. They have a very good run defense. But
it's a good run defense because no one bothers to run on them because they can just pass all over the lot. I think that's kind of fraudulent.
Yeah, but that's going to be tough for the Rams to do, though, to run all to no, pass.
They seem to have given up on that
aspect
of their game.
Running backs in football. Rams have one of the best running backs in football.
Debatable.
Yeah, a guy averaging 3 yards per carry and hasn't cracked 100 yards yet this year. Yeah, he's great, though. Thanks for playing.
I do think he is. I still think he is great, and I think that he'll be able to take advantage of the – listen, if David Johnson can take advantage of the –
David Johnson's, like, the best running back, right?
Oh, did he change his name to Le'Veon Bell when I wasn't paying attention?
Basically, yeah. They're basically the same guy at this point.
Yeah, I will accept that Le'Veon Bell's better.
Except that David Johnson scores touchdowns this year. Look, I'll just say this, and it's the Rams, you can argue that they might try to run the ball, but like if you look at their recent game logs, and I know they're a team that trails in a lot of games, but they never really trail by that much. They're not a team that's ever down by multiple touchdowns, except in that game against Arizona. But Case Keenum has been throwing a ton of passes lately. He breached 50 attempts just a couple weeks back. He was up above 40 in that game against Carolina. Like, I think Jeff Fisher is moving away from Todd Gurley, and it's not like the Dolphins, who have to rely on their running game and will try just negative run by negative run to break through that line and eventually did. Like, I don't think they're going to lean a lot on Todd Gurley in this contest.
I like Todd Gurley as, like, a buy-low fantasy guy. He has a sweet playoff schedule.
Sure, and that's fine.
He gets, like, the 49ers. I think he gets the Saints in there. He's going to be looking good for Todd Gurley in the future.
Healthy Doug Martin. He gets dub Saints.
He does get dub Saints. That's pretty good news. That's why I have to have Mike Evans.
I would honestly trade Julio Jones for Mike Evans right now.
Would you? Because that was a...
No chance.
I've thought a lot about it. I would.
Julio is a better receiver and a better offense. Julio's a whole level above Mike Evans.
Mike Evans is the best fantasy player this year.
Yeah. Mike Evans is the only receiver inside the top 20 of receptions without having caught 60% of his targets because he has so many more targets than anyone else, and those targets come in the red zone. Julio has not really been involved in the red zone, Tim.
I appreciate that, but if we are looking for, I mean, all we have are the games that are ahead of us, and we consider...
Dub Saints!
Yeah, he gets the Saints twice.
In the first round of the playoffs and the championship.
The Saints in the suit. I actually don't think the Buccaneers are going to... Anyway, that's not important. Well, I guess
they'll
what matters...
They'll be disbarred as a franchise before they can play those games.
Julio is a better receiver.
This isn't
better,
the fucking NFL
better,
combine, Tim. It's fantasy.
On a better offense. And if I had to decide between that and having Matt Ryan, who's probably the NFL MVP right now, throwing to him, or Jameis Winston, I'm going to pick Julio Jones. I'm sorry. I just am every time.
This isn't a skill argument. I agree. Julio Jones is a better receiver. Mike Evans a better fantasy player.
I think that Julio's still in a better situation.
He's not in a better situation because that offense is too good. That's the thing about Tampa's offense. They have no one. It's like DeAndre Hopkins last year. They just have no one. They have to force feed him the ball.
If Jameis continues to throw the ball to Evans the way he is, Evans is not going to make it to the end of the season. Evans is being killed by Jameis Winston.
Julio's been banged up the last calendar year. Like, it's hard to necessarily project injury, Tim.
I'm not projecting injury.
And look, I think this is a lot closer than Pat's making it out to be, but like...
I think Julio's probably number two. It's him or Brown. But Evans has the best path to be the number one fantasy player by the end of the season.
I would trade it. I would. And I own Julio in a lot of places.
And here's the thing. If you trade Julio...
But you own Evans in all those other places,
so
it doesn't matter.
If you trade Julio Jones for Evans, you probably get a piece back with Evans, too, because people would probably think...
Do you think so?
Yeah, people probably think more like Tim, that Julio is just way better. Yeah,
some of us are practical and rational and wouldn't give up a better player for a worse player.
Some of us still use dial-up internet.
Like Tim. Oh, man. Remember when you used to have to download that program that would cost, like, $40 to see, like, if someone was calling you, you could disconnect from the internet?
Or just having to worry about not going over your internet minutes?
That's still a thing.
We weren't using AOL, Tim.
That's not a thing. No one has
minutes, but, like, you still can't go over your, like, data.
That's only here.
I know. It's annoying.
For everyone out there, the Toronto... Well, it's an oligarchy? Not an oligarchy.
Yeah.
Oligopoly.
Of course, Gary doesn't realize that that most of the world exists outside of Toronto and doesn't live by its Byzantine rules.
I don't know.
Yeah, but you have like a gig limit on home. Like, it's not just on your phone; it's on your home too. You have a limit. You can buy unlimited, but it's super expensive. Everywhere else, there is none.
And unfortunately, I was streaming the first season of Dexter when this thing came down. Oh, my mom was not happy.
All right, so in this game, Tim is taking the Rams. Gary, and who does the hat take?
The hat is taking...
Oh!
Poll! Oh, this is actually going to be a very interesting poll.
The poll last week actually turned out in your favor. They picked Dallas, and Dallas ended up covering against what Tim and I said. So let's see here. We're going to tweet out poll. Poll.
We'll have to remember to actually update what the poll is saying at the end of the show this time.
I threw it in the video.
Okay.
Yeah, I threw up the poll results in the video at the end. For Garian's, this is just thrilling TV. For Garian's picks, poll. Let's see, L.A. Rams. Was it plus two?
Yeah,
plus two. New York Jumbo Jets minus two. Full length. Yeah, let's call it an hour.
Tim, get on the Jet message boards and tell them to vote.
No, the Jet message boards are too dark these days.
Tweet not sent. What? Oh, there we go. Now sent. All right. I'm going to take in this game. Who'd you end up taking? Oh, yeah.
It's Poll.
It's Poll. Poll. I'm going to write that down.
Who did you take? I just wrote this Poll.
I don't know who I want to take. No bet for me. I'll take the Jets. I'm still clinging to my Rams big. My biggest bet of the year is Rams under 6.5 wins. I need them to keep losing.
What are they at right now? Four?
I think they're at two.
Three. They're at three.
Yeah. So they're on pace to hit the under.
There you go.
That's good news. Listen, we've all taken some extra jobs to earn cash. Back in the day, I can confirm Tim used to work at a jewelry store where he used to wear his bow tie every day. And to this day, he still claims that he's a gold bug, and it's hilarious. But there is a much better way to earn money on the side now because it's so much easier thanks to Uber. Uber is the ultimate side hustle. Driving with Uber is a new way you can earn extra cash whenever you want. It's a totally flexible way to earn, and you can turn it on and off just like your car. Got a few spare minutes? Drive with Uber. Got a few spare hours? Drive with Uber. Have you ever wanted to be your own boss? Well, drive with Uber. If you're driving right now listening to this, you should be earning right now with Uber. Every day is payday when you drive with Uber because you can cash out anytime with instant pay. With instant access to instant pay, cashing out five times a day with no minimum amount required is in play. So listen, if you enjoy earning extra cash, if there's something special you'd like to buy, let your car start making money for you. Go ahead, get your side hustle on, sign up to drive with Uber today. Go to uber.com/drive now. That's uber.com/drive now. uber.com/drive now. Atlanta at Philadelphia. I think this is the most intriguing game of the week. Right now, Philadelphia is a pick 'em. They opened as a 1-point favorite. The over-under is now 50. That's up.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. I'm going to take Philadelphia in this game. Mainly because there are two games so far that, you know, when we look at, like, the bet percentages on either side,
yeah.
Two games this week are the two highest spread bet percentages on one side of any games this year. One of them is this. 96% of people are taking Atlanta in this game. I will take Philadelphia. Anytime I see that red number, I pick the other way.
That's fair.
And I don't feel good. I don't feel good.
I know,
about it.
And I sort of want to almost put this in the spectrum of what we were talking about with Denver, where it's just like at a certain point, I don't know if Philly can keep up with Atlanta. I think even if you believe that Philadelphia does have one of the best defenses in the league, which the metrics, the Football Outsiders metrics,
I don't believe.
We'll tell
that.
You. Well, here's the interesting thing with what happened specifically last week, because people are going to say that why is Philadelphia why are they still the number one team by overall DVOA, but why are they still the best pass defense by DVOA? And it's because it's not their cornerbacks that have been propping that number up. It's their adjusted sack rate. They, going into that game against the Giants, had the best adjusted sack rate of any defensive line. They've just been wreaking havoc on quarterbacks, and that front seven had been doing the work the cornerbacks in the secondary could not do. Now, the Giants, they came up against a team that had the second-best offensive line adjusted sack rate.
And tore them up.
Like, if a team can stop their front four, this is basically the way the Giants have been winning games, ironically enough, like the past 6-7 years with their defense. If that front four can get to the quarterback, they win. If they can't, they lose because they have to rely on their terrible cornerbacks. Atlanta does not have a good pass blocking offensive line.
It's okay. It's much better than it's been in the past years.
It is. It's 21st by adjusted sack rate. You're right. It's juxtaposed to the last couple of years. It looks a lot better, but it's not elite like the Giants were. So if they have a chance to win, they have to get to Matt Ryan. I don't think they're going to do that necessarily.
That's fair. Listen,
I would, and I don't like siding with 96% of the public.
Well, you don't have to. We'll see if the hat does.
It's true.
Oh, it's another poll game. You got to pick again. Another poll game. Got to pick again.
The hat doesn't. The hat is.
The hat doesn't know.
Ah!
Three in a row. Oh, home team.
The hat wants Philly.
And it would have been
a super lock.
Would have been a super lock, too, for Philly. Tim, I'm very curious to get your thoughts on this because you've been the person who's been the most right on Atlanta all season long, and you seem to have a good feel for Philly as well. So who are you taking?
I thought about this, and you're right to say that I have thought about this game the most of any on the docket, and that big number against Philadelphia, in one sense, really wants me to take the Eagles. But I've been thinking about it. And it comes down to just matchups. Who has the best quarterback? Atlanta by a mile. Who has the best receivers? Atlanta by a mile.
How dare you besmirch Darrell Green Beckham?
Yeah, well, sorry.
Or that guy, Treggs.
No, Treggs.
You know, who's got the best running backs? I think Atlanta by a mile. I think, I mean, I've seen Atlanta's offensive line under far heavier assault in Denver, even though the quarterback for Denver.
Simeon
didn't play in that game against Atlanta. That doesn't bear on the fact that Denver's defense was 100% at home and could not get to Matt Ryan in that game. And I'm convinced that Denver's got a better pass rushing capacity than Philadelphia does. And if Matt Ryan has time, he's the best quarterback in the NFL right now, and that Atlanta offense can outscore any team playing its best against them. And so even though the Eagles seem to be the sort of the way to go with all the numbers, Atlanta's just so much better, I think, than Philly is right now in terms of their positions that this being a pick'em, I think the value is on Atlanta, and so I will take the Falcons.
Okay. Minnesota at Washington. Washington 3-point favorites at home against a Minnesota team that's now lost 3 in a row. Another team, Tim, after a couple weeks of looking like an idiot, has been pretty spot on that they were fraudulent, especially on the offensive side of the ball. They've only scored 12 points a game in each of their average over their last three games. I think that Washington's going to be able to score here, and what they do very poorly is stopping the run. Minnesota can't really run. This is going to be tough for them here. So, Tim, we'll start with you. Who are you taking?
I'm taking the Redskins. The Vikings are terrible on the road to begin with. Even before before this sort of streak of bad games, they were not good on the road. They cannot score. Their offense is in disarray. Norv Turner resigning, is starting to look like this ship is sinking. And this is the Falcons of last year all over again. You want no part of the Vikings. Vegas knows it too. Because when I thought about this game last week, I said, you watch, Minnesota will still be a 1 or 2 point favorite in this damn game. No, it's they understand that the Redskins are the better team, an equal team, and probably slightly better. Especially coming off their bye too and getting healthier, I just think Washington takes them to the cleaners.
Yeah, it does seem like everything that the Redskins do well or everything the Redskins do poorly just lines up perfectly with the deficiencies of Minnesota. Like, you know that they're going to want to lean heavily on Jordan Reed. Minnesota, the highest percentage of their passing yards given up so far this season to the tight end position. They haven't given up a touchdown, but
I feel like Jamison Crowder's in for a big game, too.
Crowder, too. I think that's where you attack Minnesota, is you don't attack them on the outside with their cornerbacks, you attack them in the slot. And that could work out well because that's how Washington has moved the ball in the passing game so far this season. As you mentioned, Washington, the way to generally beat them is to run all over them. The Vikings have a terrible adjusted line yards. They
bad running backs.
2.7 yards per carry as a team so far this season. The only team below 3 yards per carry. And they can't run the ball.
And their passing game isn't helping them out by giving them any sort of cushion.
No.
You can just bring 9 guys in the box if you want.
Yes. I mean, I think the hat would want to take the home team here.
And they will not.
And it does not. They will take Minnesota.
I'm kind of torn on this because I think this is a close game. Like, I don't think this is a blowout by any means.
But, like, I'm thinking, like, 17-7.
Yeah.
23.
Yeah, 23-14, something like that.
I literally meant 22-3.
Yeah, I wrote it down here as 20-10 for Washington.
Yeah, I'm going to take Washington as well. I feel nervous about it, though, is all I'll say.
Well, you don't tend to pick against Minnesota. It's a whole new world.
I know. I jumped off the Minnesota train too early. Then I got back on. Bad idea for me. I think they started 4-0 against the spread. Green Bay at Tennessee. This is an awkward one. I know exactly. I can already write in Tim's pick, who he's taking here.
Green Bay. Put it down as my super lock as well.
Tennessee?
Yes, indeed.
Okay.
Super lock.
Give the prelims about the numbers and everything.
Okay, so Tennessee is a 2.5-point dog at home. 84% of the public is betting on Green Bay at that number. The over-under in this game is 50. That seems super high. I took Tennessee last week in San Diego. They probably should have covered that game.
It was a strange game.
If they hadn't given up two score defensive touchdowns, they would have won.
I don't like that argument, though, because it's a lot like, especially being in this office after the Monday nighter when the Bills lost, the Bills got screwed. It was just, it was the worst. Just to listen to people whine.
Here they did get screwed at the end of the half.
Whine and bitch and complain about everything. It's like, if they hadn't got screwed at the end of the first half, when they came down the field, they would have just had to kick a field goal. That's not how the game turns out.
I'm not going to chastise people who complain about being screwed by referees in various spots because I am a chief violator of that.
Yeah, but you have to understand that something that happens at the – just because something happened at the end of the first half, if that happens and it goes the other way, the rest of the game doesn't necessarily turn out the way that it did after having something happen.
Of course that is true. But it is also true that the referees completely blew the call at halftime. Like, both things can be true.
Yeah.
Yeah, but one thing at the end, just because, let's say the Bills had made it, and does that necessarily mean they have a field goal to tie the game at the end? No.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't, but that's still 3 points that they ought to have had, and the game could have played out differently, who knows? But we can't deny the fact that they were screwed at the end of the half.
I'm not saying that they weren't screwed at the end of the half.
You're also right to say that it doesn't mean that the game would have been tied otherwise. You know, you're right to say that, too.
But that's what people are more or less complaining about.
Well, because it's the easy, simple, there's the 3 points that they needed is right there sort of thing, right?
There's a lot of big spreads this week in terms of the public is really hammering one side. And so far, the only one I've really been on is Houston. I really wanted to pick kind of against that this week.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do the same thing here with Tennessee. I mean, I think they can keep it close. The Packers just don't look good. James Starks could be back. I'm like...
Well, it's a perfect storm of just, one, Green Bay is obviously a very public team, but two... I feel like people still don't quite know what to think of Tennessee. And even, you have a game like last week where they end up losing and they give up 43 points. And I feel like not a lot of people watch that game. I mean, it's a game hidden at 4 o'clock.
I watch it in an airport.
Fair enough. But it's one of those strange games where if you didn't watch it and didn't really see that Tennessee, like Tim said, like it was a couple bounces. And I'm not saying that you can just take away those bounces. They did give up 7 red zone drives by San Diego in a game that San Diego scored 2 defensive touchdowns.
Tennessee.
Yeah, Tennessee. Yeah. And that's something that Tennessee had predicated their defense on for the vast majority of the season, was not allowing teams to just drive down the field and get inside the red zone.
The Packers are 4-4. Have the Packers played a single good game all season?
They've looked good lately, but they've still lost those games. Their defense is terrible.
They haven't looked good recently.
Their offense is
good. They should have lost to the Bears on that Thursday night. They looked terrible against Chicago.
I was going to say, that is probably the best game I've seen them play.
They looked anemic. That was a game where, wasn't there a defensive score or something that put Green Bay up?
That was the game where Hoyer got hurt and Matt Barkley was in the game.
Yeah.
Like, they won that game 26-10. That was not a good performance.
Look, it was a good performance against Atlanta.
The offense did. The defense let up 33 points and yielded with inside 2 minutes.
You can't praise Atlanta's offense for being the best offense in football and then disregard a team's defensive ability to stop them.
Okay, but there's a difference between going up against a good offense and losing, and going up against a good offense and giving up over 30 points, right? The defense was anemic.
Look, I said the games they've probably looked best in, they've lost, which is telling about this team. I'm not arguing on this point, and I probably would want to take Tennessee. But I'm just saying, I can see why people want to lean Green Bay, even if it's just not the public perception thing. It's like, I've had a hard time getting a handle on that Tennessee team.
Green Bay. Green Bay it is for Garion. It's a weird one. So it's your super lock, Tim, Tennessee?
Yes, indeed.
All right. Chicago at Tampa Bay. Smoking Jay back. Gotta like Smoking Jay. Smoking Jay is so good.
Tampa's so bad.
Yeah, Tampa's so is Chicago. They're a one-point.
Except for Mike Evans, he's the best receiver in football history, right?
Well, as you just pointed out, defense and offense are two different factors of a game.
He's going to have a bad game this week, too.
Oh, against the team that allows the most fantasy points to wide receivers.
Yeah, what would you like to wager on that, Tim?
I don't know.
Let's make some sort of bet.
What's his projection for this week?
I have no idea. You set the projection.
13 fantasy points. I say
in a standard or a PPR?
PPR,
Like regular PPR.
Standard leagues.
I'm just asking.
No, like, we're playing our standard PPR point per
reception. Yeah, whatever the standard rules are in our PPR league, yeah.
Not our PPR league, a PPR league.
Whatever.
That's a big difference.
A point for every 10 yards a receiver gets.
What did you say it was?
Was it what air up? 19.49, I assume, is the Yahoo projection in a PPR.
That's such nonsense.
So let's say 15 then.
Yeah, we'll say
that's nonsense.
15 over under. I shall take the over. You shall take the under?
Under, clearly.
Clearly. What would you like to wager on this?
I don't know. We'll have to come up with stakes afterwards.
I would like to plug my own show, if I might, for a second.
Sure.
Listen to Adam Levitan of DraftKings Playbook and Fantasy Labs talk about how Mike Evans is the lock for cash game lineups this week. On the rotation.
There you go. There you go. This network doesn't bring uniform visions. It has a broad, plural view of things, so I appreciate that. Mike Evans is not going to have a good week. Sorry, I wouldn't know. That's my opinion.
It's so crazy. So crazy.
He might be right.
Watch Mike Evans get hurt.
Oh, yeah. The first play of the game. To be fair, he did predict a Mike Evans injury.
Okay, so Tampa Bay is a one-point favorite at home. The over-under in this game is 46. I love the over in this game. I just think that neither team... The one decent defensive part of this game is Tampa Bay's run defense, and I don't think the Bears are going to run.
Yeah, well, we talk about this a lot. It's a game that sets up very well for both teams just heavily passing the ball, which, one, moves the ball quicker, and two, stops the clock and just creates more plays. Like, each team could have 70 plays in this contest, which is crazy.
I'm going to take Chicago. I don't feel great about it. I think it's a close-ish game, but I just think there's a lot of points to be scored.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I think Howard's going to actually have a really nice game. Fantasy-wise, I think he could ruin you. If you're up against him this week, he could ruin your week. So I think the Bears will win, too.
Round of Bears. Although the Bears, I believe, have only won at home this year.
Yeah, but they're up against the Buccaneers.
Yeah, but when you only have
who have the worst home winning record since 2009, I think, of any team in football.
Yeah, I think they've won 3 of 21 games, I think it is.
At Stuff home?
Like that, yeah.
Jesus.
Well, I mean, I think they only won 2 games.
No,
last year.
I get that, but still, that's a jarring number. And I'm a Dolphin fan.
It's so weird. Tim is in what is statistically the best matchup of the week for a player who's produced elite results.
David Johnson might have a better matchup.
Maybe. Okay. For a receiver.
Yeah.
He's taking the under on Mike Evans. And Jordan Howard,
who has one of
the worst matchups. He's taking big game from Jordan Howard.
Yeah.
That was swaying the public.
Yeah. Listen, it's strange, is all I'm saying. It's a hot take.
He's Doctor Strange.
Oh. No.
Because he's a doctor.
He is a doctor. Well, soon to be.
Miami. I mean, I don't see the purpose. I mean, listen, I'm not on here to agree. I'm here to give my opinions, and I disagree with these things.
It's a strange take to have, is all I'm saying.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what I've been building a lot of my rep on, strange takes.
Miami at San Diego. San Diego is a 4-point favorite at home. The Dolphins have not beaten a team over 500 this year. San Diego, not over 500.
Yes.
So that's good news.
But arguably the best team in football not to be above 500.
Sure. Over-under is 48.5. 84% of the public is on San Diego. I'm taking Miami. San Diego, by Pro Football Focus, has the worst run defense in football. I just think they hand the ball to Ajayi 30 times, shrink the clock down, and keep it within a field goal.
I mean, if there is a path to beating San Diego, it's a lot like the path you would have to beating, like, Atlanta or New Orleans.
Shrink the game.
You shrink the game and keep the ball out of their hands. And
the Dallas strategy, basically.
Exactly. And to the Dolphins' credit, much like Dallas, since giving up just way too many yards the first 4 weeks of the season, they've allowed the fewest passing yards the last 4 weeks per game, under 200 passing yards a game. And that, again, has nothing to do with Byron Maxwell turning around his career or converted wide receiver we have playing quarterback.
It has to do with playing Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Come off of a converted wide receiver. He's been a quarterback most of his career.
I said cornerback.
Oh, I thought you said playing quarterback.
They have what was that Michigan State wide receiver from like 2-3 years ago? They have playing cornerback. Tony Lippett.
Oh, okay.
Tony
Fair
Lippett
enough.
Is playing cornerback for them right now.
I misheard you. My mistake.
I like Ryan Tannehill.
It
pains me. Anyway, it's a situation where they just don't give teams the opportunity to possess the ball, which is strange because they still have the second lowest time of possession in football because it's so bad where they were coming from 4 weeks ago. So I think I'd still take San Diego at home.
But
I think they can cover 4.
To channel my inner Feinberg here, they lost the vote.
Yeah, now they're gonna prove they gotta show San Diego what they're missing.
See, I've got this written down in my notebook that the Chargers are going to be so bummed that the people of San Diego, not even a majority of them, a majority voted against the stadium. It wasn't even, like, they had to get to 65 or 66% to carry, and they didn't even get 50%. So here are the Chargers players. Basically, the people of San Diego have told them, go ahead and leave. We're not willing to spend, what, the tenth of a percent extra on our income tax to keep you. You know, this is a stadium that already has trouble on the best of days bringing in fans. So the Chargers will be depressed about it.
And the Dolphins will feel right at home.
And the Dolphins are probably the better team. The Dolphins are rolling right now. They have won, what, three games in a row and have beaten some good and bad teams to get there.
They haven't beaten any good teams.
That's
how you feel about Buffalo, I guess.
But you don't think the Steelers are good or Buffalo?
Well, the Steelers had Ben Roethlisberger healthy for a quarter and a half.
Both Buffalo and Pittsburgh are good teams, and they beat them both. And now they're playing San Diego. I guess I was wrong to think the San Diego was a second-half team. I guess they just don't have the chops. The Dolphins should win this game. I think the Dolphins should win it by 7 points. I wrote it down as 34-27 Dolphins, and that's the way I'm going.
What does the hat say? Do I get to ring the bell?
Dolphins.
Round of Dolphins. That sounds like disaster for
us. Yeah, that doesn't sound like a good combination.
Ah! Sound of Dolphins.
I was gonna say, I thought you were just screaming, but it sounded like a dolphin. But no, you were trying to. That was better, I guess.
Better is a very loose term there.
Oh sure, yeah, that's fair.
It's hard to do a dolphin voice. I'm not gonna lie to you, but Tim has proven his ineptness at any sort of impression whatsoever.
Non-Christopher Walken impressions.
Non-Christopher Walken category. But doing an elf, I guess. But doing a dolphin impression is very good.
Good one, Willie. Yo.
Cracking himself up.
Doesn't even need us.
All right.
when you teach your classes, do you tell jokes then have gig fits?
I try to. I try to tell one joke per time.
How long are your lectures, Tim?
Depends. Sometimes 75 minutes, sometimes just 50 minutes.
Are they predicated on when you need a cig break?
No.
Do you take like a half class time out and go outside?
No, I do not. I usually charge up before I go in and then have one when I leave.
All right. San Francisco at Arizona. San Francisco likes getting blown out, and we'll put that to the test here. They are 13.5 road dogs at Arizona. 48.5 is the over-under. People are split on this game. 67-33. I like Arizona. I think they can cover this number because San Francisco sucks.
I do too. I think Arizona is starting to fall into the class of Pittsburgh, as we've talked about a lot on this show. Like, Arizona at home is a good team. Arizona on the road, specifically the East Coast, not so great a team.
In San Francisco, outside of week one every year, bad team.
I mean, Arizona doesn't allow passing touchdowns. They don't allow a good drive success rate, a reasonable drive success rate. Like, I don't see how San Francisco moves the ball.
In my mind, it sticks out. I feel like the last time that Kaepernick played Arizona, he threw two pick sixes in the first two drives.
Yes.
Arizona knew exactly where the ball was going.
That was the game where it started the debate of, oh yeah, Arizona realizes that Kaepernick only has one read, a drop back. That is an issue. And also, as we've talked about too, like, what is the argument against Arizona possessing the ball for like 40 minutes? I guess the argument would be that David Johnson is just running for 80-yard touchdowns, but that doesn't seem like it's a good thing for San Francisco.
No, that'd be bad.
Like, they can't stop him.
Tim?
Can't stop him.
Just too many points for a very mediocre Cardinals team. I'm going to take the 49ers. You know, the 49ers, they're like 1-7 against the number, and I think I picked them most weeks, and it's hurting me. I just don't think Arizona's good enough to be favored by 13.5 against anybody.
Do you like plus 600 on the money line, Tim?
You know what? I'll tell you why it's not a terrible play, because it's an interdivisional game, and these games, as a rule, tend to be closer than most. I don't know. I think the Niners can score a little bit. We've seen the last couple of weeks that even when they're losing, whether it be Buffalo or last week against the Saints, they can generate some points. And
sure, generating points against the Saints is something that is generally sustainable.
And if you can generate points, then it's harder and harder to cover the 13.5 number. So I think I would play the Niners the plus 13.5. You might even want to tease them up to 21.5 or 20.
I'd just rather tease it the other way and just, you know, I'd take. You taking the Niners?
Yeah.
Hat likes the Niners. Hat knows, though. Hat knows what's
up. I know the hat knows.
Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans proudly supports the Pat Mayo Hour. Rocket Mortgage brings the mortgage approval process, get this, into the 21st century. And as I've heard, that's where we are right now in terms of Gregorian calendars. Fast, powerful, completely online, Rocket Mortgage has taken all the complicated, time-consuming parts of applying for a mortgage out of the equation. Do you hate searching through stacks of old files or paperwork? Well, with Rocket Mortgage, you can easily share your bank statements and pay stubs at the touch of a button, helping you get approved in minutes for a custom mortgage solution that's been tailored to your financial situation. And even better, with Rocket Mortgage, you can do all this on your phone or tablet. It's a quick online process you can manage from the convenience of your couch. So, if you're looking to refinance your mortgage or buy a home, check out Rocket Mortgage today at quickenloans.com/mayo. That's quickenloans.com/mayo, M-A-Y-O. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states and MLSconsumerAccess.org number 3030. Dallas at Pittsburgh. This is a fun game. We have Dallas, 2.5-point road dogs at Pittsburgh. This game opened at 3. It's down to 2.5. 78% of the public is on Dallas. 49.5 is the over-under. I am going to super lock in
Pittsburgh.
The Pittsburgh Steelers.
Super lock.
The big thing for me is in every game this season, Dallas has been able to dictate how the game has gone. We saw it against the Packers. Even when they play good teams, they can just run the ball, control the clock. I don't know if the back end of their defense, and it all depends on Ben's health. I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt of being healthy. He got the crap game out of his system. We know he plays a lot better at home than he does on the road.
He looked capable at the end of that game. Like
they were playing like prevent defense.
I understand that, but I'm saying at least he looked like physically able to move.
Sure.
Which was like he scored a rushing touchdown.
I think that Ben's going to be able to take advantage of the banged up secondary, and if you start making Dallas play from behind, I don't think they're incapable of coming back. Like, I don't think that's the case at all, but you really throw them out of sync from what they want to do. So I think that Pittsburgh controls the pace of this game, not Dallas, and therefore I think Pittsburgh's going to win. Plus, with a healthy Ben, a healthy Brown, and a healthy Bell, I'll take Pittsburgh at home.
And I think that the world just wants Skip Bayless to have a job. And we need Skip Bayless to have an opportunity all next week to talk about, do you start? I gotta stay with Dak. I mean, I know Tony's healthy. I was about to go into a
Stephen A. impression.
Stephen A. Then I forgot that they no longer work on the same show, and I got sad for a second. Oh no! Wait, no, I didn't. Because fuck that show.
Impressions aren't so easy, are they?
Oh please!
I hate that show.
I know
so
you
much.
Hate that show. I don't get it. I don't get why you don't like that show.
Because they present themselves as journalists. If they decide
no, they
not...
don't. They present themselves as screamy guys. As my friend Sad Jamie likes to say, he likes to tune into sports yelling.
I do too.
So do I. I think it's funny.
Yeah, I enjoy it.
Oh, too bad. You got Dallas there, pal.
Well, again, the hat knows.
Tim, what are you thinking about this game?
So, I am going to take the Steelers, but I'm not as passionate about it as you, only because I am skeptical of just how healthy Ben is. And I think that by the numbers, Dallas has got a better offense than Pittsburgh, in part because Ben was out for a game or two. It's a tough game, I think. I think you describe it well, that if the Steelers get the Cowboys on the back foot, it could be difficult for Dak and Elliott to fight back, because of course Dallas needs to be in games where they can put Elliott.
To their credit, they did fight back against Philadelphia.
I'm saying they can do it.
Yeah,
but again, when you see
and of course this is Vegas saying that Dallas is the better team on a neutral field by not giving Pittsburgh the full three.
Well, they had the full three, but the public is hammering Dallas.
Well, understandably, right? Dallas has been by the numbers, right? I think the best team in the NFC, even though I don't think they are the best team in the NFC. It wouldn't shock anybody if the Cowboys were in the Super Bowl this year. They're playing that well.
It would shock me.
It would shock nobody.
It would shock me. Dallas is not going to the Super Bowl.
No one in the world would be shocked if a 7-1 team at the halfway mark made the Super Bowl. You might not expect it to happen. You might say, oh, it's a bit of a surprise. Shock is an inapt word choice for there. And it certainly could happen. I mean, I think Atlanta's going to make the Super Bowl, but the Cowboys could. So, I mean, it's a tough game. In the end, I'm going to take the Steelers, A, because the people are on Dallas, B, Pittsburgh plays better. As I said earlier, Pittsburgh's a much better home team than they are a road team. And so with trepidation, for me, it's a no bet, but I will take the Steelers -2.5.
I really like the Steelers in this spot. And
I would hope so. They're your
watch Ben not be healthy and just lay an egg, but I just don't see that happening. I forgot to mention in that San Diego-Miami game, 85% of the public on San Diego.
Yeah, people don't like Miami. They're biased.
Seattle... The biased media is on San Diego?
Yeah, well, this biased media got its comeuppance.
Unfortunately, Jordan Phillips won't have an interception in this game because everyone knows Dolphins wearing 97 only pick off Jets quarterbacks.
Oh.
Yeah, and they only take kicks back. back against the Jets.
Yeah, I know. It's great. Miami special teams lock against the Jets.
Seattle.
Remember that on Christmas Eve.
Seattle at New England. New England is a 7.5-point favorite at home. 48 is the over-under. And this is another one that's in the red for over 90%. 91% of people like the Patriots. I think Seattle, with a healthy-ish looking Russell Wilson, can keep up on the scoreboard. I don't know if Seattle necessarily wins. I do think they keep it within a touchdown. I will take Seattle.
Coming in blind, I did not think this number would be 7.5. I was thinking it was going to be more like 4.5, 5.
So did I.
And I was very prepared to take the Patriots at that spot. But that swing point, that extra half point, you really want to go Seattle. Like, I know it's the Patriots at home, and I know they've looked unstoppable. Like, their average margin of victory.
How about the over of 48 in this game?
Yes. Yeah.
So a primetime game at New England, take the over.
Yeah.
Over is one of the better bets of the week.
I mean, they've the last 3 weeks, their average margin of victory is 15 points. Like, if that holds true, you're going to have, or just at any point in the game, you're going to have Seattle obviously needing to pass the ball. And even, I know we're talking now about, three-headed monster at running back because Rawls is back
at practice.
It's
going to be ProSites this week.
It's a huge ProSites week because they only ran the ball 8 times last week. Why is that going to change this week?
ProSites is a good back. If they give him opportunities, he's going to be incredibly fantasy relevant.
I do like CJ ProSites.
Let's say that he went to...
You know, like CJ ProSites? I'm sure you know, because you've probably talked to him all week long. Jake Seeley on his CJ process is 90% of David Johnson argument?
Oh, sure.
Might be. But except, in the end, he'll actually be good, so he won't be like David Johnson.
What is David Johnson going to have to do to convince you he's good?
I don't know. Probably nothing. He's just, once people get into that circle with me, it's hard to get out. Sorry.
Well, what if CJ ProSites had went to, let's say, Iowa instead of Notre Dame, Tim?
That wouldn't matter.
Really? That wouldn't matter?
I guess I wouldn't know as much about him because I wouldn't have watched every single one of his college snaps. But that wouldn't matter in terms of my evaluation.
Who are you taking here?
I'm taking the Patriots. Patriots are just too good, right? Can't be beaten. They're the greatest team, blah, blah, blah. Give me the Patriots. The Seahawks have trouble scoring, and the Bills scored 25 on them, so their defense didn't look that good, and they scored 31. I think about last week at home was aberrational for the amount of points that they can score. If the Bills can score 25 on them, how many is New England home going to score on them the way the Patriots are playing? So I think the -7, I would take them probably all the way up to and including 10. So I think I would take the Patriots. And the way you like the over, I think if you just tease the Patriots and the over, you can't lose that bet.
Can't lose.
Free money.
The hat is taking Seattle.
The hat is taking
Seattle. For reference here. I had a question about the Seattle defense, and I want to kind of get your thoughts on this. By DVOA, they're still very good, even after the Bills game. Do you think that Tyrod Taylor presented a unique challenge for that defense as opposed to someone? I mean, Matt Ryan put up over 20 on them. It's not like I expect the Patriots defense or offense to not score points.
Yeah.
But do you think that they're better equipped to handle a pocket passer rather than a guy who can extend plays?
Well, Carson Palmer put up 6 points against them, so I think yes would be the short answer to that question.
Yeah, but Carson Palmer just might not be good anymore.
No, but he still has some good receivers, and they couldn't take advantage. But they don't have Rob Gronkowski running down the middle like a Mack truck, and they don't have people like Edelman underneath who can make marvelous catches. If Deion Lewis is back this week, you would know better than I do whether he is back this week, but he's certainly eligible.
We're not sure.
Maybe it's a situation, too, where, and it's a strange argument to have, but it's possible that when you have a balanced offense like Buffalo that can come at you from a various amount of ways, and then you even have LeSean McCoy is far and away the best piece in that offense.
LeSean McCoy looked really good on Monday night.
He looks great, and he's, again, the focal point of that offense, whereas you look at a team like Cincinnati who struggled against Seattle, Richard Sherman can just take away A.J. Green.
Did they play this year?
No, I don't think they did.
Oh, no, sorry. But I'm just saying, if you look at that sort of offense where it's just they have a piece that is clearly taken away by the strength of Seattle, where Buffalo, it's oh, good, we can put Richard Sherman on Robert Woods or on Justin Hunter. You're not using your defensive pieces to the best of their ability, not that you could use them any other way.
They're going to put him on Gronkowski. Gronkowski will run him over.
I'm saying that's a bad matchup. It's not something that they can adjust to well. Now, Irving.
But the hat says, who cares, right?
What's that?
The hat says, who cares?
Yeah, I can't speak for the hat.
I think if I'm trying to get in the mind of the hat right now and what's its logic for picking Seattle, I think it's similar to what my logic is. I think they're going to score enough points to cover. I don't think they win, but I think they'll keep it close. The Patriots have no pass rush. which is how you kind of get to Seattle, make Russell Wilson move around. If he has time to kind of extend plays just a little bit or stay in the pocket, they're going to score 25 points.
But don't forget, the Patriots get every call at home. So you have to, but they get an extra point at least just for that.
Oh, I hadn't considered that, Tim. Sorry.
Well, you should consider it because it always happens.
Monday night game, before we have to go because Gary has to get out of here, Cincinnati at New York Giants. We have to get John Gruden's take on the Monday night game. I mean, he's there. He's seeing everything. Right now, Cincinnati is 47 on the over-under this game, one-point underdogs on the road at the Giants. 58% of the public is on the Cincinnati Bengals. So what I'm going to do is pass the game over to Mr. John Gruden to give his take on the Bengals and Giants. John, what are you seeing so far?
Well, I'll tell you what, man. I really like this game. Playoff implications in the air tonight and Monday Night Football. That usually means bad news for Andy Dalton, man. This guy, you know, another Pro Bowl caliber season for Andy Dalton, and this can't get it done in primetime. 5-9 in primetime games. It's like, where's Waldo out there, man? Can never find this guy. You ever watch those Harry Potter films, man? Someone needs to find Harry Potter and find this magic potion he's got. It's called, like, Felix Felicis or something. This liquid luck, man. Someone needs to get, there's so many doctors in the world, no one can find this guy some luck. I'll tell you what, if Andy Dalton doesn't play to his capabilities, it's going to be a tough football game to win, man. I'll tell you what, I really like what I'm seeing from this New York Giants offense. Eli Manning, 7 touchdowns last 3 games. And now, check this out, my Gruden grinder, Paul Perkins, first-year pro at UCLA, 5'10", 208 pounds, decent speed. I call this guy the baller, man. You know why I call him the baller? This guy's got ankle-cutting abilities. He's like an NBA player out there. He's just breaking ankles. If this New York Giants offense finally gets a run game, I'll tell you what, man, this Giants offense is really going to take off in the second half. I'm losing my breath here, man. How do you guys do it for so long?
Mikey O! Check out Mike on Twitter, at Mike Omalon. Gruden's
grinder. That is the best impression I think I've heard in person in my life.
Wait, you're not hearing it in person.
Yeah, you're not here.
I'm hearing it live. You know what I mean? You know what? Fine.
I like the Bengals in this game. I don't like Andy Dalton in primetime. I kind of agree with
Andy
John Gruden.
Andy's having a very good season, actually. People don't realize Andy Dalton, just look at the numbers. He's having a really good season.
Yeah, and now that Eifert's back, I think this is a bit more dynamic of an offense. I think that Gio Bernard...
Look, A.J. Green's on pace for 1,800 receiving yards.
I trade A.J. Green for Mike Evans.
So would I would trade Mike Evans.
I would trade Mike Evans for A.J. Green.
Oh, you already lost that deal, pal.
No, I didn't.
You just did, by making it.
I traded for A.J. Green in our keeper league, and there's a reason for that. I think he's going to be marvelous in the second half. I think Eifert being back is the biggest thing that could happen to him, because now you have to pay attention to Eifert, or he'll ruin your week if you don't. So I like the Bengals in this game, too. They're coming off bye, which is important. This is also just seemed like one of those Monday night games where Eli Manning just completely lays an egg on national TV. We get a couple of those a year. Seemed like a good spot for it to happen. I think the Bengals are the better team, I guess, so does Vegas. And I think the Bengals win this game in a rout.
Rout. I know it was like Paul Perkins waiver wire week. People love Paul Perkins because he broke 2 of his 9 runs, which were mostly for 1 yard or negative plays for 15-yard gains, caught a couple of passes. Like, look, I think Perkins is okay, but we talked about it with Minnesota. Like, the Giants cannot run the football. It's one of the most one-dimensional offenses there is in the league. Their line cannot block for the running game. Their running backs have not been able to find the few holes. I mean, Justin Pugh also not going to play in this game. Like, that does not help this line in any way when your best offensive lineman is out for the next 4 to 6 weeks. Yeah, give me Cincinnati. I just think they're a better team. And the ball.
And the ball agrees.
The hat slash ball.
We all agreed on Chicago on the Monday Nighter 2 weeks ago. Didn't turn out. Or that was
did turn out, yeah.
We all took Seattle. We all took Seattle last week. That did not work out, so now we're back on. Maybe it's a week-on, week-off thing with the Monday Nighter.
Possibly.
With Cincinnati. All right, there's not going to be any extra bonus time today. Garion's got to get out of here. We have something planned a bit for next week, a more in-depth discussion about analytics, polling, and things like that, and how it relates to football. But for now, it's just going to be football for this week.
Alas.
Alas.
We got some John Hamm in there.
Got some John Hamm.
We hammed it up, if
ooh,
you will.
Ooh, very good.
I knew he'd enjoy that.
Yeah, I like a pun.
Yeah, you can't put a pun past him.
I like a pun.
You can follow Garion on Twitter, at Garion Thorne. And, of course, you can always follow Tim and August.
Tim and August.
not my name.
On Twitter, at Tim Andrikus. You can follow me at the PME.
That is not my Twitter account.
It is your Twitter account. It's verified.
No, it's also a lie.
Yeah, it is. The best is...
You tricked him into thinking
He was verified using Photoshop, and he was very upset for like 20 minutes.
He kept texting me like, it's not actually verified, is it?
I didn't know. I thought maybe if you like something is verified, only the verified person can see it until I didn't know.
That's
what we told him.
This is a true story.
If you're verified, you can't actually see that you're verified.
But this is a true story. Pat can confirm this. We were sitting at a bar last year. I think it was like week 13, week 14, and Nando DeFino, head master of programming.
Yeah, I guess so.
Lord Commander of Fantasy Sports Network.
Yeah.
He was sitting there and he had like a Keith Bullock's Twitter guy with him, and we spent a significant amount of time trying to get Nando's account verified.
And Tim's
account verified.
He wouldn't do it.
Nope.
Wouldn't do it.
Alas.
You can follow me at the PME on Twitter. Remember to subscribe to the Pat Mayo Hour on YouTube and iTunes under the Pat Mayo Hour. Check out the other Pat Mayo Hours this week, too. Usually it's just the Thursday show that's good, but like Tuesday and Wednesday were both, you know, real fired up this week. It was somewhat surprising. Doesn't normally happen. May have to have three guests on more often. Anyway, I'm Pat Mayo. Good luck this week. I'll see you next time. Next time. It's two days in a row. Next time. Why can't I say next? Watch next time!